May the Lord help us to commence this morning by singing hymn 267. 267. Children of the Heavenly King, as ye journey, sweetly sing. Sing your Saviour's worthy praise, glorious in his works and ways. Hymn 267. Portions this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 31, the first 8 verses, and then the first chapter in the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now we turn to the first chapter of Joshua. The first chapter in the book of Joshua. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, unto the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valour, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, in thy infinite mercy, thou hast spared us once more to gather in thy courts. And as we gather on this Lord's Day, we do seek for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be sweetly felt. As one of old said, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? And, O Lord, we would come with that desire of those Greeks of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. Oh, we pray for a sweet and sacred sense of thy sacred presence as we gather this morning. And may we prove that it is no vain thing to serve the living God. O Lord, we come before thee, as the hymn writer, when he said, Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt come and apply thy precious blood to our poor sin-sick hearts. That thou wilt wash us and make us clean every whit. We pray for a heart to truly confess our many, many sins. A heart to beg for mercy. A heart to plead to be washed and to be made clean every whit through the precious blood of Jesus. We thank thee that that precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Oh, do come and appear for each sin-sick soul today, and sweetly assure them that thou hast suffered, bled and died for them, that thou hast redeemed them, that they are thine, that thou art theirs, thou art ours. Oh, do come then, dear Lord, and speak to our inmost soul, that we might hear thy voice, and oh, that we may have the application of thy precious word in our souls, that it may be life and power to us, that it may be a food to the hungry and a drink to the thirsty, and that those that distress, Lord, may know that heavenly comfort to be sent down. Oh Lord, thou alone canst comfort thy dear sorrowing people. And thou knowest the many sorrows that many walk in at this time. But thou hast said, I will be with him in sorrow. And all that there may be, Lord, thy sweet appearing in all the sorrows of the way. And dear Lord, do grant more and more fervent prayer in each of our hearts, that we may give thee no rest until thou dost work. We pray that we might each have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people, that we may be amongst those that are truly born of God, that we may be rightly concerned regarding our souls and eternity, and that we may be ever on the reaching out for thee, giving thee no rest until thou dost reveal thyself to us. And O Lord, do come and remember those that are sorely tried. Thou knowest how many of thy dear people are tried and severely tossed. And thou hast promised, Lord, to deliver thy tried people. And as thou didst deliver dear Job, Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver thy people in this dark day. And may there be those enabled to say what dear Job said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, ever keep us from settling down short or resting on any sandy foundation. And may we be given that heavenly diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Oh Lord, do bless the dear children. Remember them, each one, Lord, in their early days. May they be brought to bear the yoke in their youth, and to both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. May the prayers of dear parents and those that pray for them be heard and answered. May they be kept, Lord, from this world and all its snares and dangers, and kept from all the subtle works of Satan. And O Lord, do so work in them that they may hunger and thirst for the truth in their early days and seek thy face. Do bless the Sabbath school and those that lovingly labour in it, and do bless the word to the dear children. May it be sown in their hearts, Lord, and be seen after many days, the sweet fruit of it. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember the dear young people. Do work in them, Lord, mightily thy grace and fear, if it would please them, and cause them to cast their cares upon thee, and to commit their way to thee, and to trust also in thee. The Lord, Thou alone canst preserve and keep them, watch over them. And may they have the religion of dear Ruth of old, and cleave to thee and to thy people and to thy truth and to thy house, Lord, and ask for the old paths. And we pray that thou wilt undertake for any that have some special need, and that thou wilt supply it. Remember all thy troubled people wherever they be. We would plead thy sweet promise, for thou hast promised that I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. And Lord, thou alone canst do it. And others, Lord, in affliction's pathway, we think of dear David in the nursing home, that thou wilt be with him, Lord. We pray that thou wilt come and visit his soul and sweetly assure him that thou art his refuge and strength, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. And do sweetly assure him, Lord, that thou wilt be with him in all the pathway, whether it be short or long. And oh, may thy presence be his stay, and guide him, Lord, in this path he has to walk. Bless his dear family, those near and dear to him. Help them in this time of great trial and burden, Lord, and the great concern they have. We pray thou wilt sanctify it all to them and to him too, and that in thy time that thou wilt favour them abundantly in their souls, that they may be able to say in it all, my Jesus hath done all things well. And we would thank thee, dear Lord, for healing mercies to those thou hast restored in measure. We pray especially for Victoria and Philip, Lord. We thank thee for bringing them safely through the operation. And we pray that thou wilt go on to strengthen them and heal them and restore them. Grant them all needed patience, Lord, in it all, and bless their dear families, and undertake for them in each of the pathways they walk. And we pray for others laid aside, Lord, the dear children, those that are not well, and the parents too, in the caring for them, and we pray for healing and restoring mercies. And do comfort all those that are bereaved, Lord. We hear of one and another being taken from this earth. And thou hast said, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt comfort each one in their great losses, and make up the breach. And may they be enabled to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And O Lord, may the death of one and another be the beginning of thy work of grace in many, that thou wilt yet, even in this village, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. Lord, the power's thine, and thou alone canst do it if it's thy holy will. And oh, may it be so in our own flock and throughout Zion, that thou wilt revive thy work. There may be yet a gracious building up, a time of real refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We pray for the deacons here, Lord, thou would help them in the choice of the hymns and bless the hymns to each one that sings them. And may there be a sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And may thy name be glorified. Who add to the church precious souls yet, if it would please thee. Thou alone canst do it, Lord. Thou hast done great things since we first came here. And Lord, we pray that there may be others constrained by thy love to venture while there's room, for thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. And, O Lord, we pray that Zion may be revived and built up, and the churches, Lord, graciously increased, if it would please thee. Do help thy dear servants as they labour, Lord, today. Help thy dear servant with our own flock, and may it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And may each of thy dear servants do grant them that divine anointing of thy Spirit. And may the word through them be made life and power to thy people. And may we even this day be thy messenger, dear Lord, in thy message. And may there be that fruit to follow. We pray that thou wilt meet each case, Lord, of thy dear people. May none be empty sent away this day. And may there be those filled, if it's thy holy will, with the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And we would pray for our guilty nation, dear Lord, to come and appear and work in our King and the royal family and in our Prime Minister and those in government, Lord. We pray that thou would open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, and may many of our MPs and those in government, Lord, be brought to fear thy holy name and to turn to thee for guidance and wisdom and strength and help in all the affairs they have to deal with. And may they do those things that are right in thy sight and not just right in their own. May they not be left to be men pleasers, but, Lord, to be true servants of thine. We pray for thee to send peace in the Middle East, in the turmoil and wars that are going on and the conflicts there are. And appear, we pray for all thy persecuted people and those in Ukraine, who do appear for them and deliver them, if it would please thee, from the great oppressor. Lord, the power's thine. And now, Lord, we would praise thee for all thy many, many mercies. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. Who grant us a heart to love and praise thee more, and crown thee Lord of all. And to anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy dear people. And may that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And may a precious Jesus be lifted high upon the gospel pole. For thou hast said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. Forgive what we've uttered amiss, dear Lord. Make up where we so fail in our poor asking, and we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask these poor breathings in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus, for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 798. Faith in Jesus can repel the darts of sin and death. Faith gives victory over hell, but who can give us faith? Hope in Christ the soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives, but who can give us hope? Hymn 798.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and verses 7 and 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verses 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, and verses 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This is a very sacred and profound promise that the Lord gave to Moses to speak to Joshua. Moses was just the messenger. The message came from heaven, from the Lord himself. Moses, as we read in the few verses here, was 120 years old, he said, this day. And I can no more go out and come in, or so the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord had wonderfully anointed and appointed Joshua to lead the children of Israel. Moses was to view the landscape, but to not enter into it. He came to represent God's holy law, did dear Moses. Joshua was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus, and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan. And our text is this wonderful charge which Moses was given by the Lord to speak to Joshua. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, they must all hear it. So as they journeyed along, there was no doubt in their minds, or shouldn't have been, who had appointed to lead them. It was clear. This was declared by Moses under the blessed commandment of heaven, the Lord himself giving it to Joshua. And they were all to hear it and all to see it. But this word, I don't know why, but has been so resting upon me for a few days. And I trust it is the Lord's message to bring before some poor souls today. And what was this message to Joshua? Well, let us look firstly at the first two words of it. be strong. He was going to need that word every step of the journey in leading these dear people. It was not going to be an easy task because they were stiff-necked, they were rebellious people. He was going to need to be strong, wasn't he? And there may be those things that you're walking in today, or may have something set before you. You see, this was set before Joshua, this great task of leading this people. Be strong. You may have something before you particularly, it may be in providence, it may be in your soul, or maybe in your pathway, or in the family, or in business. And you look at it and what happens? It makes you sink. There's no doubt, dear Joshua, with all this mountain before him, was beginning to sink under the weight of it. But here's a word from heaven that the Lord was to speak to him, and he can speak it to you today, whatever you may be faced with. Be strong. Be strong. And that's not in your own strength or in your own power. Let's be very clear of this. Because he was to be strong and of a good courage. And where was that strength to come from for him to be strong? Not in himself. It's not in yourself. It's not in myself. And that's a lesson that the child of God has to continually learn. But in the Lord. One's mind in thinking upon this text went to particularly to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, where he commanded them to put on the whole armour of God. Why? Because, you see, there was battles before them. You have to battle with yourself, won't you? You've got to battle against Satan. You have to battle against the world. You have to battle against unbelief. You have to battle against your pride and self-righteousness. And what does he say to them? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's how Joshua was to venture forth. That poor soul today is how you've got to venture forth. In the Lord. Not in your own strength. The Lord will strip you of that. Because if we try and go on in our own strength, it'll soon fail us. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's a wonderful word, really. Be strong. Face the enemy. Stand against Satan. Stand against man. Be strong in the Lord. Stand against the trials that you've got to walk through. And you can't do it yourself, but in the Lord, you see. It's all in him. Why? Because he has all power. He says here, in the power of his might. And that's how Joshua had to venture forth. In the power of his might, not in his own strength. And you know, it may be, and I draw a bow at a venture to name it, but you think in a person venturing to follow the Lord in his sacred ordinances, and the devil will put all the hindrances possible in your way, however young you may be, however old. My late dear grandfather was 82 when he was baptized. And the devil put all the things impossible before him. But you know, the Lord so came and appeared for him that the Lord removed all the obstacles so he could venture. And how did he venture? In the strength of the Lord God. And a young person, I think if I remember rightly, reading of the late pastor at Crowborough many, many years ago, I think Mr. Littleton, he was pastor for over 50 years. And he had a young lady, or a girl of 10 years old, come to see him, to venture to follow in the Lord's sacred ordinance of baptism. And he thought, well, she's young, what does she know? And how has she been taught? And she, you know, she just came and she opened her heart to him. And she said, I'm here because the Lord has commanded me. And I've got to venture in him. And all her strength was in him. The dear man said, I just sat and wept, as she told me, melted by the Lord's goodness. None are too young and none are too old. Well, I'll leave that for your thoughts. Be strong, he says, in the Lord. And then one thinks too of what Paul said to dear Timothy. And may we lay it to heart too, as we have to with that word from which the Lord spoke through the apostle to the Ephesians. And he says in the second epistle, I think it is, of Timothy, that beautiful word to venture, here it is. He says to Timothy this. Now, Timothy was a young man, and there were many dangers that beset him. And he says to Timothy this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, you see, there are those things we need to be strong in. And it's not found in the natural man. It's not found in us by nature. He was to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the apostle could speak that from experience, couldn't he? Because the Apostle Paul knew what it was to have a messenger of Satan to buffet him. You may have many things that are buffeting you today. But how could he bear them? How could he stand against them? Well, not in and of himself. He asked the Lord, Lord, take these things away, this messenger of Satan away. And he didn't just ask three times, not just once, three times, to take it away. But the Lord didn't, did he? And he may do that with you. Why? To keep you down, to keep you dependent upon the Lord, to keep you looking to him, to give you grace to resist the devil, and grace to continue. You know, what did the Lord give him? And he could well speak of it to the Corinthians. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Be strong in the grace that the Lord gives you. Grace that will stand against Satan. Grace that will stand against the trial. Grace that will stand when everything else fails. Be strong. So he says to dear Joshua, Moses does, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong. And as you look at the future and the unknown way and the difficulties that may lie in it, be strong. And I'll tell you something, poor soul. This is something, if the Lord speak this to you today, like he did to Joshua, it was something he could plead before the Lord. He could take it back to the Lord and say, Lord, thou didst tell me to be strong. Thou didst speak this word. Do enable me and give me that grace to fulfill it. But then we need to be strong in faith. We read in the Acts of the Apostles of those that were strong in faith, giving God the glory. I know what some will say immediately, oh, but my faith is so weak, it's so poor. But poor soul, do you not seek the Lord to strengthen that little faith which you have? It's a wonderful thing, you know, to have a grain of faith, isn't it? Of living faith. And what will faith do? It'll be looking for the Lord's appearing. The eye of faith will ever be looking heavenward. There's no doubt with dear Joshua as he had this great task before him, leading these people. Where was he looking? It was no use him looking at himself or looking back. Why? Because that would make him sink lower. Faith will enable the poor soul, especially when it's strong, to be looking heavenward, even when you're weak. That's where Jonah, I think I hinted at it the other night, that's where Jonah had to come. The only way he could look was to the dear Lord Jesus. Let us run with patience, Paul says, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Are you looking unto him to strengthen your faith? And the arms of faith will be reaching out for Christ. Oh yes, like the woman that pressed through the crowd. Her faith was such, she wanted to touch the border of his garment. It was by touching him she was made whole. The hymn writer said beautifully, didn't he? One touch from thee will make me whole. So the word is clear, isn't it? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in faith. Be strong in grace. Be strong in being dependent upon the Lord for everything. When we read too in the lesson, didn't we, of Joshua, that first chapter, it's a beautiful chapter that is. It's a very special chapter to me, and I don't really want to go into that, but look how many times the Lord confirmed to Joshua in that second reading in Joshua chapter 1. In verse 6 he says this, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt they divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And then in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And then he says this, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then in verse 9, I remember preaching from this at Ashwa, one baptizing service of a dear man that had many fears. And in verse 9 we have this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now if the Lord speaks of be strong to you, he will confirm it, and he will confirm it, and he'll confirm it as you venture on. He may confirm it through the ministry. He may confirm it as you read the holy word of God. My mind goes, and I may have told you before, but many years ago in my teenage days, I was very ill with shingles and glandular fever at the same time, and I seemed to get weaker and weaker. And one day in my bedroom I felt I couldn't go on. I said, Lord, I can't go on. I've got no strength, no power to venture forth. And I opened the Word of God, and it opened on the 10th chapter in the book of Daniel. And all I saw on the page were these words, and may we lay it to heart, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And you know, as the Lord breathed that word into me, I felt the strength come in naturally into my poor body that was shaken by the affliction, and too in my soul. And I've never forgot it, you know. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak. Why? For thou hast strengthened me. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord gives a word like that to strengthen us in faith, in hope, in love. Well, let's just tarry further upon this. Be strong. I hadn't intended to spend as long as this on it, but you know, it's such a vital word. It was to me yesterday. We walked round Anglesey Abbey, not round the house, but through the gardens, because I'm supposed to walk because of the heart condition and that following the operation. And a lovely walk in the sunshine, and this kept following me. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And, you know, when the Lord speaks such a word as this, you're going to need it, poor soul. He speaks it, and he spoke it to Joshua, and let's be very clear in it, because he was going to need it. Not only that first day, but every step of the journey. Be strong. And whatever you may have before you, from today onwards, may this be a word in season. It's not mine, and I didn't choose it. The Lord dropped it in my heart. It was just as though the Lord said, now you're going to Swavesey. It's 56 years ago this month when I first came. Be strong and have a good courage. Take it to them. And I brought it. Be strong and have a good courage. You know, often we're like the hymn writer, where our courage has fled, isn't it? But you see, this is the sweet antidote to it. He says, when all you feel you've got little courage and you cannot go on, be of good courage. And he confirmed it in the chapter we read, as I indicated just now, that first chapter of Joshua. How many times the Lord not only said, be strong, but of a good courage. And he'll give you courage to venture on. Courage to venture upon him. The devil will do all he can to take away our courage. You know, we know some people, naturally speaking, are more courageous than others and have more courage in things. And like with children, they vary. Those of us who have had children will know that some have got more courage than others, naturally speaking. And so it is spiritually. Now Joshua, no doubt, as he looked back over Moses' life, of all those years of leading the children of Israel, could have seen how the Lord had given him much courage through the journey. Good courage. But oh, he felt as a youth, how, Lord, I haven't got the courage that Moses had. But he is the word of heaven to him. Be strong and of a good courage. You've got to go in that strength, poor soul. You've got to go in that good courage the Lord gives you. And then he gives him a very clear word, which is a very wonderful word, you know. It seemed to stand out to me. You know, in spite of all your sin, in spite of all your unbelief, in spite of all the roarings of Satan and the things that may come against you, that face Moses, Joshua had seen Moses have to face, and now Joshua got to face it. But he says this, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. This is a very clear word. And I draw a bow at a venture to name it. Thou must go with this people. There may be those that have exercised concerning following the Lord and casting your lot with the church here. You may say, oh, but I have many doubts, I have many fears, I have many obstacles in the way. Thou must go with this people. I remember one of the old servants of God, and this is a wonderful word for any God-sent servant, really. It was a wonderful word given to Joshua. I remember one of the dear servants of God, he's now in glory, saying to me, he was so exercised when he was asked to take a pastorate, what to do in the matter. He said, all I had to do was to spread the whole thing before the Lord. Lord, why am I to do in it all? And he said the Lord spoke those words to him, what are in our text. For thou must go with this people. And if there's one exercise here concerning following the Lord, that's a wonderful word to venture with. For thou must go with this people. He didn't say you may do, or you've got to do this and do that, or something else. Thou must go. It was a clear word, wasn't it? Of instruction. And the Lord's dear servant told me, he said, you know, when the Lord spoke, he said, I knew exactly what I got to do. For thou must go with this people. The Lord had laid him in their hearts, and he had laid upon him the church, you see. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I've told you before, no doubt, when the Lord laid me aside back in 2002, and I couldn't preach, and I was told by one of the Lord's dear servants to go down to Cornwall, and the house he had there, and he said, go down there and have a rest, and I hope the Lord will be with you. And I went. The Lord gave me strength to go down there, and my wife and I, and we were there, you know, on the Lord's day. And I wasn't well enough to go out to any house of God, and I picked a book up out of the bookcase. I thought, I'll read a sermon. I didn't know what it was or who preached it. I opened the book, and it was a sermon by the late Mr. Stanley Dells, and the text was these words: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it was so sacred and sweet, the sermon was to me. All the burdens are laid upon me, and I really felt encouraged by it all. And then we had a rest in the afternoon, and in the evening I thought, I'll read the next sermon. And it was, take my yoke upon you. And as I read it, you know, the power that accompanied those words, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It was a clear word, take my yoke upon you. And I said, Lord, what is this yoke I've got to take? I said, I've just laid down the work of Bethesda. What yoke is this? And you know, there was a thunderstorm. And it rained ever so hard, like it does in a thunderstorm. And then there was a beautiful rainbow right across the bay of St. Agnes. And I looked at the wonders of that rainbow, and written right across it, and I should never forget it, was the Dicker. And you know, it went right home into my heart. I thought, well, I know what this means. This is the yoke. That's what you got to take. And you know, I carried it all the time we were there in Cornwall. Thou must go with this people. And then as we journeyed home, I felt, well, if this is right and of heaven, when I get home, there will be a letter asking me to come. And we got home, and there's a lot of posts, and I looked, just glanced through it, and there's nothing concerning it. And this devil said to me, ah, you've deceived in it all. And in a sense, I felt relieved. I'd already given the pastorate up at Ashwell. But the next morning, the post came, and my wife called up to me. I was in the study, and She said to me, there's a letter here with Eastbourne postmark on. And I said to her, well, I know what that means. And before I opened it, I said, I expect they've asked me for 3 months in view of the pastorate. I opened it and they'd asked me for 6 months. You know, it was wonderful, really, you see. Thou must go with this people. You think of dear Ruth. Orpah was willing to go back to her gods and to her people, wouldn't she? But dear Ruth, she must go with the people of God. The Lord had made her willing. And you see, Joshua here had to be made willing, and the Lord was to make him willing by speaking this word, for thou must go. He didn't say you may do, or you've got to do this, Joshua, and do that. Thou must go with this people. It's a clear message, isn't it? And the reason I name it is because the Lord has laid it in my heart and given it to me to bring you unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. What a glorious land it was, wasn't it, that he'd set before them. And what you may say, but yes, venturing in his sacred ordinances and in his ways, this land, well, of course, really, the Lord sets before each of his dear people when he puts them out in the pilgrimage journey, the glorious land of Canaan, heavenly Canaan. He has set before you heaven. But you may say, but what does this make it relevant to the church? I say, it'll be the blessings the Lord can grant in that church to your soul. You see, in the land of Canaan, it was so different than the wilderness, wasn't it? The wilderness was a barren land. But Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey. Real blessing. It's very much typical of heaven above, you see. Well, just a taste of it, really. Oh, the fullness there is in glory. To be with the dear Lord Jesus forever. Without a veil between, and to draw from that sweet fullness while you're here, venturing to follow him in the sacred ordinances. You see the blessings that are in it, venturing upon the Lord. The fullness of grace, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his mercy, the fullness of forgiveness, it's all found in the dear Redeemer. What do we sing in the hymn? In him a rich fullness dwells, and he's freely given, and he's given for sinners. Remember, Joshua was a poor man, a sinner. But God anointed to lead the children of Israel. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. It was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, this glorious land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And you think of the wonderful report that Caleb and Joshua brought back of the land. You see, but they didn't listen to them. They listened to the other 10, didn't they? And what did it do? It brought them all into bondage. Oh, it did. Listening to the ten. If only they'd listened to those two. You think of Caleb and Joshua, they brought back that good report of the land. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. The difference between the ten and Caleb and Joshua was this. The ten looked at all the impossibilities of the land. They looked at the walled cities. They looked at the giants. They looked at the enemies in the land. But Caleb and Joshua, they looked far above it all to the Lord himself, who controlled the land and showed the goodness there was in that land. And they brought back the report of the goodness, not of the impossibilities, not of the giants, not of the enemies. And then he gives them this, and then I will leave it, but he gives them this wonderful promise, gives Joshua this wonderful promise, doesn't he? And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That's a beautiful word, really, isn't it? And the Lord, he that doth go before thee. And poor soul, as he goes before you, then you can follow him. There's a beautiful couplet in the hymn, isn't it? Always keeping Christ in view, and he will bring you safely through, keeping him in view. You know, if we are to follow him, he must go before us. And he'll go before you in the trials. He'll go before you in the difficulties. He'll go before you in the impossibilities. He will go before you when things go well. When I was received into the church in 1963, the dear servant of God gave me this word in verse 8. And you know, over the years since then, I've proved it time and time again. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. It's sweet to see the Lord going before his dear people. Oh, it is, going before them. In every step, in all they have to walk through. So he knows, and then I'll leave it with you because of the time, he knows exactly what you've got to walk through if he goes before you. And therefore he can sympathise with you. He can help you in it. He can undertake for you in it. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And if he going before you, poor soul, you'll want to keep him in view. Think of that, what I quoted just now, always keeping Christ in view. And he will bring you safely through. And may the Lord sweetly fulfill it. Well, I've scratched around the surface. I'll leave it because of the time. May the Lord bless his own precious word. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Chapman. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. Hymn 1033.
Do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Be with us now in the afternoon and come up with us again this evening if it would please. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore. Amen.